Court and Joe as he goes and sees who is at the door. Here he comes.
All right, sorry, don't come back. How's it sound now?
Wherever we go, we'll never be lost. Some follow the compass or some follow the cross. Me, I follow roads compulsively till sirens call me off. Then I wander, eyes closed, following songs. Rivers a hymnal and the leaves are applause. Trees singing whispers with the wind pulling their arms. Hold still and listen, your hand in my heart. If you need them, these beacons will lead you back to the start. Yep, no access in these woods since before your father stood. That path is beaten good, but the feet of all that wandered through it. Old growth holds hope, let the bramble scrape your skin.
Everything's now completely normal on my end.
Alright, fuck it, let's just get started. Oh man, you haven't had an episode in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. What's going on?
Well, I was in Houston, as you know. You were hanging out with me. So we just didn't record. And now I got what I call like postpartum depression, except it's post-Houston depression.
Yeah.
Just, I'm struggling a little bit, man. I'm going to be honest. I can miss home, obviously, right? Yeah. Like, it doesn't, at least in the past, when I moved back to Willimantic, I was going to a place where I like, where I had friends.
Yeah.
But now I'm back to Worcester, where I don't have friends and I don't like Massachusetts, right? And it reminded me right away, because I was walking the dog on my first days back, right? Smoked a bowl, beautiful day, I was going to walk the dog, right? And I live in a sort of like quote-unquote nice neighborhood now. We found a house out here. It wasn't by design. We just needed a bigger space. You'll see it when you come visit.
Yeah.
And I'm walking the dog, and like three doors up, this dog charges us, and this is like a problem I've talked about in this pod.
Yeah.
But I see he's on a run, so I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna walk out into the street, and the run will stop him.
Yeah.
But the run went all the way into the street, and the dog came after me and my dog, so I had to kick a dog in the face, which sucks.
Shit, yeah.
Not enough to injure him, but enough to be like, I got his attention. And then his owner came out, and I told his owner, like, dude, the run comes out in the street. What are you doing? That's super dangerous.
Yeah.
And told me to fuck off, so I called the cops on him. And I gotta say,
shit.
So I gotta say, and I know I shouldn't be like this.
I didn't think it was going that way. Okay.
No, dude, I got animal control on my fucking, like, saved in my contacts.
Yeah.
So much.
Oh man.
There's something about calling the cops on a rude white man that is satisfying in a way that it shouldn't be. You know.
Yeah. Do you know what became of him and the police, or did you just take off?
Nah, this is the second time I had to call the cops on the dog. Last time, because the dog actually bit me.
Okay. But,
that time, they followed up. They called me back.
Yeah.
And they told me to talk to him. We pulled, we went to his house. We said this and that. You got to be more careful. Do you want to press charges? Like, nah, he didn't hurt me. He just tried to bite me. And he said, no, like, you got to be more careful with your animal, man. Like, or someone's going to hurt it, or it's going to hurt somebody, you know?
Yeah.
So I was cool with that. This one, they didn't call me because he didn't actually bite me. I made it clear. I made it clear. Like, he didn't bite me, but he tried.
Yeah.
I was able to fight him off.
I
don't even know. He just came at me barking. I don't know if he was going to bite me. He came at me aggressive and he jumped on me, right? He made physical contact, but he didn't bite me or try.
Yeah.
He just sort of rushed us. And, like, you know, some of those loud dogs, they don't know what they do if they catch you.
Yeah.
It might have been that, but this dog barks at me every time he sees me from the window, so he's been, like, angling. After the dog.
You have a history with this dog.
I guess so. Like, a mean mugging down the street, But, I ended up having to call the cops. So my guess is they call him, and they're like, hey, man, I described the whole situation with the run being too long. Like, you gotta be more careful, right?
Yeah.
Probably what they told him. And since there was no way to, like, press charges or pursue anything, because he didn't try it, the dog didn't bite me. Because the other dog bit me. He just didn't break the skin because he got a hold of my pant leg.
Yeah.
This one didn't try to bite me. He just sort of charged me and, like, just sort of threw himself awkwardly at us because you could tell this is the first time he's done this, you know? Like a young dog, like, finally, like wants to pick a fight to see. He's, you know, man, you've met young bucks like that. And then when they get into a fight, they've never actually done it.
Yeah.
So they don't know what to do. They just sort of, like, launching themselves. They're not really, like, coordinated because they've never made it this far. And he got popped in the jaw, and immediately was like, whoa, what the fuck? This is what a fight is? You know?
Yeah.
And then probably, you know, I don't think, if I'm being honest in reflection, I don't think that dog was, like, a danger. Not like the other one. That one definitely was. But fuck him. Like,
yeah.
Back up off me.
Man, that's intense.
Yeah, that was a welcome back. Yeah. And then I found out this stupid goddamn state's having a fucking straight pride parade. Like, of course it was Massachusetts. You ever have that? Like, I was fucking like, when I saw that trending on Twitter, I was like, don't be Massachusetts. Don't be Boston. Don't be Boston. Don't be Boston. Fuck, of course it's Boston.
Yeah, of course it's Boston.
It's your ass fucking Boston.
Yeah. When is it?
I think it's August, maybe September.
Okay.
It's one of those they can't say no. Like, and he made a big stink online about, like, yeah, they tried to stop me. And Boston's response was, and you know, me and Boston ain't friends, but I did thought that this was funny. Boston's essential response, when I say Boston, I mean the city of Boston, was like, and I'm paraphrasing here, maybe interpreting, was some version of like, we didn't say you couldn't, we said you shouldn't.
Yeah. I'm curious what the turnout is going to be. I think it'll be a lot of folks.
Maybe. I wonder I'm just worried about the floats. What are the floats going to be? It's going to be like a parade of sketches, it's going to be a parade of storyboards for Bud Light commercials.
No, there's not going to be floats. This is going to be fucking half-assed. Like, if they do anything, it'll just be a bunch of white dudes marching down the street.
You don't think that'll be?
No, they're not.
I will say this. I don't associate white boys who drink Bud Light and Monster Energy drink with arts and crafts.
Yeah, like, these guys, they're not putting anything legit together. Like, yeah. It won't be... Like, it's not going to be anything entertaining. There won't be bands.
There'll probably be some pickups with some few dudes in the back, like, waving around. Did you see the straight pride flag?
No, I haven't. Let me look.
It's black and white, so it's the opposite of fucking a rainbow.
Jesus. So it's just black and white bars?
Yeah. like a prison jumpsuit. Because, bro... Gender is a prison. That's what they are unironically telling everybody.
Oh my god.
Right? Oh, I saw this tweet with a black dude, and it's just been like, I feel this tweet in my heart. He said, like, hey, white people, gather up. He said, I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, but I'm trying to be pretty close to it. He said, do you ever get around your other more problematic white friends and it just feel like, fuck, this is so embarrassing?
Yeah.
He goes, because now that I know that straight pride is a thing, I think I understand how white people feel. Because, fuck, this is so fucking stupid. You guys, yeah. Like, what are you doing? You're making us all look bad. Like, what are you doing? It's so lame. I will say this, though. I want to say, since we're on the subject, shout outs to just gay pride as a concept, because I think it's awesome. Because, like, I love pride movements. We'll get to white pride. I'll get to white pride in a second. but then we can talk about Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah.
And you can tell me what you think, but, like, you know, when I think pride movements, the first one I think, obviously, is Black Pride, and Black Pride was very sort of liberatory, it's very conscious raising, right? Malcolm X is who I think of. Then I think of, like, Yellow Pride, which is almost like an intellectual freedom, because Yellow Pride, and then, you know, I'm talking in broad strokes, gave us ethnic studies, right? In a major way, or at least major contributor. So it's like it's intellectual freedom. And then Chicano Pride, which grew into like Latinx Pride or Azteca Pride, whatever you want to call it, that grew into sort of workers' rights because it came from workers' rights. There was a sort of class pride to it. And I know I'm moving in broad strokes, right? Irish Pride has a sort of a specific decolonial flair to it, which I can always get behind because fuck England, right?
Yeah.
But gay pride is all about just being able to enjoy being yourself. There's a sort of joy that I associate with gay pride that I don't with the other pride movements, although it's obviously there too. And I just really love that about it. Like, gay pride is fun. Like, whenever I'm thinking that there's going to be like a Latinx pride or an Asian pride or a Black pride thing, I'm going to go because I think it's important, but I'm not expecting to have a good time with fucking gay pride. I'm like, woo, party time, let's get this day drink. Like, yeah, because that's just the most fun one. So, just shout outs to fucking gay pride. And only because I had some edibles and I'm stoned, but also because I believe it. Like, I think that if you're a transgender woman, fuck it, you're a woman. Like, I look forward to that just not even being a distinction anymore. Because what the fuck do I care? I'm married. Be whatever you want.
Yeah.
Although, we all know why we can't have white pride, because someone's thinking that right now. The reason you can't have white pride is because you can't have white pride without bodies
for some reason. Races ruin that for you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, races ruin it for you. Like, Mad at them, not us.
Yeah. Gay pride, you expect floats and day drinking. White pride, you expect concentration camps and fucking lynchings. Like, no. You ruined it for yourself. You had 200 years to do white pride responsibly, and you shit it all up. So, no, you can't have it back. Fuck you.
It's over, man. It's over. It's also why you can't say the N-word, but they won't get past it, so.
Not equal. It's not equal, Joe. Why should black guys get to say it?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, equality. Oh,
yeah.
True equality is letting white people do whatever they want.
Right? Man, what a segue to Joe Biden. So I'm I'm drinking a shot from something I saw at the store. And it's called Western Sun Flavored Vodka. It's from Pilot Point, Texas. And I thought Western Sun was perfect because of Joe Biden's sun comment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what flavor Big Stripe watermelon is. I never thought about watermelons. Like, man, look at the stripes on that watermelon. But that's what it's called. So, fucking, here's to you, Joe Biden. Like, what do you think
about that? I think that's a thing, though, the stripes on the watermelon. Sweetness. I think that's a thing.
I always was taught to look for the yellow spot underneath.
Yeah, yellow spot's the biggest one, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, every culture has, like, their own different watermelon test, you know?
I wonder whose culture is the stripe test. Nah. Sponsored by your bullshit. Stripes.
Yeah. How was it?
Awful. Fucking awful. I mean, it tasted like melted Jolly Rancher with grain alcohol. That's what it tastes like. I might not be terrible with some club soda.
Okay.
Make it into a mixed drink.
Yellow spot watermelon vodka would have been.
Yellow spot watermelon vodka, man. Never fuck with this stripey vodka. With these stripey vodkas, man. You gotta have that yellow. You gotta have that yellow spot on that vodka. Now let that sun slip, then let that moon ride. Follow in no footsteps, listen for the true guides. Woods to play tricks upon pretty blue eyes. Is that Plymouth the river, or your village finally brought back to life? Follow me tonight, I'll show you what it's like to be alive. I know, it seems like we're all lost. We see the secrets, we know the unknown. All right, so anyway, you want to talk about Joe Biden, or what do you want to talk about? We don't have, for those of you listening at home, oh, by the way, yeah, this is Two Stonians with Jorge and Joe. We don't have anything planned because I've been traveling and Joe's been been fucking deep diving into his record collection. And so we don't have shit plans. We just got a list of random topics. I've got all kinds of random things. And so does Joe. So, Joe, why don't you get us started off?
Let's talk about Diamond Joe Biden.
Fucking old shit and motherfucking Joe Biden. Well, so I want to pull up. All right, so what are your takes? You first, I've been talking for a lot.
I was at my mom's house earlier today, and she asked me about Joe Biden. And her question to me was, do you think Biden has a chance against Trump? And it was like, what do you mean? He fucked it up this week. And she's like, what are you talking about? So I had to explain to my mom this situation.
Wait, you know what? Pause.
Yeah.
Take us there. Explain to us what your mom.
What do you mean? Like my mom? I don't want to put my mom's business all on the internet.
No. Oh. I mean, how did you give us the summary of what Joe Biden said?
Oh. Many people, so Joe Biden praised segregationists that he previously worked with in the 70s in the South. He said, I got to pull up the quote, but he said, he never called me boy, he only called me son. So the way I told this to my mom was like, I was very upset when I was talking about that with my mom, so I'm not there emotionally right now, but it's pretty much the gist I was telling my mom, like, look, Joe Biden worked with the segregationists against busing in the 70s. And he thinks of those times fondly because they were easy to work with because they were polite to him.
Right.
Without the context that they were polite to you because you're white.
Yeah. No shit.
You're a white man working with them to end segregation of schools. Of course they were polite to you. You're one of their team members.
Yep. And a good one.
Yeah, very good one. You kept that shit going till the 90s.
Yeah, what did he say about DC schools? Like, of course they're doing better. They don't got black kids or some shit.
Yes.
Fucking asshole.
Yeah, just talking to her. So, for her, it's like, she's an old black woman. She doesn't keep up with politics as much as I do, which I'm very jealous of. So, usually she gets a lot of information from me. She's like, and Biden's already been presented as the de facto nominee, and Trump's done a good job of making that so. By he's really the only one he attacks. Yeah, I mean, he has attacked Elizabeth Warren. I think that's where our numbers are up. But it's really like, it feels like Biden's got it. But my conversation with her was like, look, Biden does not have this. Joe Biden has shown in his career that he will always say something stupid.
Yeah.
And completely just kill his candidacy.
Yeah, he's the king of fucking snatching.
He's the king of gas.
The king of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I wouldn't worry about Joe Biden.
On the other hand, though, if he got through somehow, he might win. He's basically less racist Trump.
I wouldn't confirm the less racist. But
less vocally racist.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he'll get there. But rarely people leading at this point with a race this open get there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's been the front runner multiple times in the past. I think without Barack coming out and saying anything in support of him, I don't see it. I don't think he'll get it.
That's gonna be interesting to see who Barack backs. Yeah, because like if he doesn't,
he's gonna wait till the last minute till there's like three people in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's gonna wait till the very last possible second, and he's gonna go with
there's 24 candidates, man. Can you blame him?
I know. There's really only five, but. But, yeah,
24
people.
The five more, let's see. Biden, Bernie, Warren, Kamala.
And Mayor Pete.
Really? Mayor Pete?
Mm-hmm. My mom asked me about Mayor Pete today.
For real?
Yeah. Oh, and I had to explain to her the shit's going on in his state, or in his city right now. I don't know if you saw, I just saw tweets about it, but apparently he had a town hall that did not go very well today.
Yeah, I saw those tweets, but I'm not following.
I haven't watched any video of it yet. But Mayor Pete has name cachet with casual voters. And I think it's also because Trump mentioned
him. Wow, he never took him seriously. I always thought he was just like kind of like Castro's like, how about a Latino? And he's like, how about a gay dude? Like, it's like, it's just like, you know, I hate to play this card, but like, I just assumed he was identity politics in the worst way. But those guys usually get weeded out pretty quick. Mm-hmm. So I assumed he was not, but I guess I'll look into him. I just didn't take him seriously.
Yeah, you take Mayor Pete seriously.
All right. I'll take a look. Biden. So Biden, yeah. I've mostly been ignoring this story because, I don't want to get into it. But then John Lewis chimed in, and I love John Lewis.
John Lewis, defended his friend.
Yeah, but it's the way he defended him that I'm just, tickled by. Because John Lewis, for those of you who don't know, right-hand man, I wouldn't even say right-hand man at MLK, because that implies he worked for MLK. They were more, independent that were allied themselves, right?
Yeah.
But definitely, one of the big six, a pillar of the civil rights movement, right? A GOAT activist in his own right, right? Hall of Famer. I love John Lewis, right? How do you not love John Lewis? And always ahead of the curve, but he was pro-gay rights. He stood up against DOMA in the 90s. He's always been, ahead of, a decade ahead of the curve. Fucking John Lewis was a visionary. So when he stood up for Biden, I was like, oh, he's just hanging up. That's his homie. And then I was like, we all got that friend. We're like, oh, here we go. I got to defend my friend. Hope you guys understand that this is my friend. I have to. I have those, right? You have those.
Everybody has those.
Texas, you have half the president, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't mean it, or he doesn't hear himself in some form of. Here's what he said. I want to read it.
Sorry, they're spraying for mosquitoes.
Oh, okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I think they're done.
Hey, that's the Lord's work, man. Good for them. I don't think the remarks are offensive. Lewis told reporters, recounting the rage of unsavory people he's had to work shoulder to shoulder with. During the height of the civil rights movement, I'm quoting here, we worked with people and got to know people that were members of the Klan. People who opposed us, even people who beat us and arrested us and jailed us, we never gave up on our fellow human beings and not give up on any human being. That is his defense of Joe Biden. Hey man, I've had to hang out with Klan members. He's not as bad as them. You know? And, like, look, man, I've had to deal with some unsavory characters. Joe Biden's one of them. Like, implicitly, like, he's fine. Like, you know? He's not as bad as a Klansman. Like, well, that's his defense, essentially. I don't think he set out to say that. I don't think this is supposed to be close to Ed as I am, but I fucking laugh my ass off. Right? Said.
Yeah, he's not as bad as President Klansman, so...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's never hit me. Say what you want about Joe Biden. He has never hit me.
He just didn't want anybody who looks like John Lewis to go to school with white children.
But these are the best things he could summon. Never hit me. Yeah. Not a Klansman. And I don't give up on human beings. You know, I haven't given up on Joe Biden.
Oh, John Lewis is an American hero. He really is. He's got to be like, he's got to be like a top 10 American, right? Like
top 5.
Top five, yeah.
Like, man, civil rights movement? Like, God, he might be low-key number one.
He might be.
Yeah. Him, James Bevel, Dan and Ash, they don't get enough love, man. It's like, man, top 10 for sure. Yeah. I would say he deserves to be on our money, but I don't like putting politicians on money, so that disqualifies him. But that level, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Commemorative coin.
Statue.
Yeah, he for sure needs a statue.
Yeah, pull that man. Get that man a statue of him fucking, like, getting beat up by a cop. No, that's not
fair. No,
but he fucking, like, man, because I've read John Lewis.
I would love for a picture of a statue of him beating up a cop.
He would never be okay with that. I think maybe taking it stoically somehow, just because what I think about him is, like, sometimes, like, man, talk about the opposite of a glass jaw. That dude just got beat up by cops a lot. Like, I can't think of any time that, like, MLK got beat up by a cop. Because he wasn't at the first Selma march. He was at the second one where the cops let him through.
Yeah.
And he was on the freedom rides while MLK turned down, right? So fucking John Lewis, that motherfucker could take a punch, man. That dude was like fucking Rocky. Maybe a Rocky statue version of him.
There we go.
That implies he's getting, like, he's in a night, like, his Sunday best, and it implies he's getting up from another beating, but he's, like, still going. I don't know. That motherfucker could just take a hit.
Yeah. Like,
I would not want to fight John Lewis because I don't think I could knock his ass out.
No, no.
But Billy Club can't do it. I fucking can't do it.
Oh, man. All right, what you got?
The first debates are coming.
Mm-hmm.
4 days.
Yeah.
3 or 4 days. Sweet. So, in his card, he's got Booker, Klobuchar, I don't know who the fuck that is, Warren, Tulsi Gabbard, fake candidate, he named Ryan. I'm hoping that's his first name and they don't bother with his last name, but it's probably his last name.
Yeah.
Laney, don't know who that is. O'Rourke, Castro, de Blasio, and Inslee. So they got all the aspirational people together.
Mm-hmm.
Castro, O'Rourke. Oh my God, the plays to personal or parental struggle is going to be awful in that fucking debate. Warren should win this hands down. These people are jokers.
Yeah.
Right? But fucking, I could see O'Rourke
just having
a viral moment.
I think Booker kind of cancels him out because they both have the sort of same trick.
Yeah, I think so. I thought about that. That they could end up canceling each other out. I could also see them doing a cutesy like bromance type thing.
Maybe.
Like,
yeah. I could see Cory Booker patting his chest like, yeah, man, like you're like. You can come to the cookout or some shit.
Yeah. It'd be like, Corey, you don't get to... I don't know if Corey has gotten, like... That's an interesting question. Like, how many white friends are you allowed to bring to the cookout? And it's different per person, right? Everyone gets, like, one, right?
Oh.
Right? Everyone gets one, and the more credit you have, you get more than one. Yeah. Right? Corey Booker, I feel like, has one. You spend it in Albano.
He can bring two. He's from Newark, New Jersey. Come on.
That's fine. And you know what? And he's dating fucking man, I never thought I'd say Rosario Dawson. Like, there must be more to this homie than I can see, man. Because he might just have a fucking killer fucking work face, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, sometimes I think about, like, man, my work face is so good now and on point. That I wonder which one's really me. You know? Like, and Booker, dang, Magnus just has that good of a work pace. I probably should give him more credit, but he feels fucking, you know? Like, he's running game.
Yeah, no, he's obviously fake. Like, he's not good at being sincere. Like a sincere politician, whether you believed Obama or somebody like that.
Have you seen the episode? You've seen it. Do you remember the episode of Dave Chappelle when he's hanging out with fucking homie from Whose Line Is It Anyway? What was his name?
Wayne Brady. Yeah.
And he's not the person you think he'd be?
Yeah. That's Cory Booker.
That's Cory Booker, best case scenario.
Yeah, best case.
In that case, Cory Booker's throwing the barbecue and you're just hoping you get invited.
Mm-hmm. Man, Cory didn't invite me again. Come on, <Cory.
laughs> You didn't hear what I said? No, I was just playing, man. Come on, you don't play too much.
Man, why can't I be there?
You don't play too much, man. Come on. We can follow this river right back to your home. Back to your home. Back to your home. Allison beside. For 100 years before this, they are packing up supplies, preparing for a long trip they may not survive. Many of them know this, they would rather die than believe the question. So this is why we try. We bet it all on hopeless and swim against the tide until our every bone is broken. A sinking ship is still a ship till captain spoke the orbit till the crew is flew. Yeah. All right, so here's what I got. I got warrior staff, dogs, and weed because of a story I read online.
Okay.
Straight Pride, which I already made fun of. Fucking
okay.
The podcast White Lies, which I don't know if you've heard.
That's not.
Chernobyl, which you need to watch.
Yeah, I haven't watched. Let's save that for like when I watch it.
Well, I'm looking.
I'll watch it this week.
And let's see, NBA catch up, and then I got Elizabeth Warren, LGBTQ reparations. I don't know if you heard about this.
I have not. So let's talk about this.
Yes, you haven't heard this?
No, I haven't heard this.
She came out today and said that because let's see, what was the logic? I forget her math, but states started issuing gay marriages at whatever date it was, 94.
Mm-hmm.
And the government didn't recognize those on the federal level till like 2008 or whatever. Or 2012, I forget.
Probably what more recent, yeah.
It was more recent. Well, whenever it was. Right. And she said, I don't know where she got the number from. The post implied that she did the math, but she said that those people should have gotten tax credits that they did not get.
Okay.
So we owe them back refunds.
Okay.
She didn't call them reparations, but it felt like, but she cussed it in the language of oppression and discrimination and like, we owe this to them. So yeah. I'm calling it reparations, though she did not use that word.
She's just staying away from that language, yeah.
Yeah, we need them back. We owe them back pay because of their discriminatory practices. So it's not just that, like, this would have been the correct taxes they should have been paying the whole time. It is also, you know, on some level, a, like, mea culpa for the shit you've had to deal with. And given that we had the first conversations about black reparations ever on the Capitol, I didn't know how to feel about it. On the one hand, good point, right? On the other hand, it felt like cutting the line. Like, come on, man. Like, we're still...
You know what?
And another way, it feels like, are you just scoring points? Like, I've never even heard that idea floated. Not that I'm against it. I'm actually for it. But, like, that came out of left field, and the only connection I have is black reparations. So, I'm just confused by it.
No, this is literally why I support her. Until you told me about this, I had no idea. I'd never even thought of it. The thing was, I'm 100% on board with it.
All right.
Two, I don't think there's any wrong time to talk about an injustice.
All right.
So I'm all like, I look at it like this. So it's black people have been told for centuries, wait your turn. We'll get there. We have to stop thinking like that. There is no line. This is an injustice. We have to fix it. Black reparations is an injustice. We have to fix it. Doesn't matter who gets it first, when it happens. Like, these are clear things we know that are wrong, that the government has done wrong to its citizens. So we have to act on that. So it's not about waiting for black reparations. We've been waiting on that shit for over 100 years. This is another wrong that our government has committed. We need to fix it. I think that's the biggest problem, is we don't think about injustices that way. There's no waiting. Dang, Joe. Who is there? We gotta fix it.
Dude, I think you just made my heart grow two sizes, man. For real. Like, I was legit like kinda like, hey man, there's a line, you know? And that's the fucked up way to think. And I guess I'm sort of like, I'm just stuck in an old way of thinking about things. Like this sort of like the linear trajectory of history. We do things in this order. That's a great point. I guess I'm for it. I guess part of it was the sort of like, it felt like a crass political move, but I guess maybe it can't be. It's not like that was a conversation. It came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I am for the idea. My discomfort is with a politician I haven't decided if I trust yet.
Yeah.
Like, if it was Bernie or AOC, I probably would be more open to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I trust them.
Yeah.
At least I trust their earnestness. Maybe not mm-hmm. their decision-making, but certainly their earnestness. And yeah, so, okay. You talked me into it. Yeah, yeah, I was a little ambivalent, but you got me.
Good, because, it's no more waiting in line. Fuck that.
You know what I'll say sometimes with Warren? It feels too good to be true.
Oh, yeah.
There's a skeptic in me that just...
disappointed. Everybody does.
I was almost relieved when, like, Bernie, the sort of criticisms and legit criticisms of him, some of them are the criticisms of Bernie Bros, and they're not about him, but it gets transferred to him mm-hmm. in ways that aren't fair, but, you know, part, but also part for the course. That happens to everybody.
Yes.
But, there were moments where he'd have a flaw, a blind spot. Warren doesn't really have that. What she has is some dumb fucking mistakes. But a lot of them was when she was like, most of them when she was a kid, the whole Native American thing. Like, she should have just said, like, look, I was 18, I had been kicking around in my family forever, so I just checked the box. It was like, hey, maybe it'll work out for me, because I was an 18-year-old and fucking I didn't know any better. That's the truth. Instead, she did this whole stupid DNA test where she's like, no, see, I'm like a 180 of kids. See, I was fine. Like, oh, Jesus.
No, what she should have done is said, like, no, these are the loopholes white people also take advantage of.
Yeah.
Things meant for you, we also take. Yeah. That was the right way to go about that. That's been her biggest mistake.
You know what? You know, we should let Elizabeth Warren know. That's the answer when they ask her on Wednesday. Answer is like, you know what? I was a white girl who was taking advantage of a loophole a lot of white kids do. And I did it uncritically because I was 18 years old. I recognize now that was bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I did that DNA test because I reacted defensively, trying to cover my tracks, but that was bullshit too. And that's on me. My bad.
That's the right answer.
Yeah. That's the right answer. And you know what? If she did that, I might be over my hoop. Because I'm still, I know it's a little thing, and I know it's one that the right loves to pick on, but I'm also like, they're weaponizing it in an ugly way, in a way that, of course, refuses any kind of self-reflection and realizes this applies to you too. However, they're not wrong. Like, that's how I felt about it the whole time. So that would really, like, go a long way for me. And I don't usually get into that trap of, like, prove to me your character, but this, see, I don't know. And she's associated with Massachusetts, which I obviously have hang-ups about.
Fair. That's very fair.
You could be from almost any other state. I have a sort of implicit bias against Massachusetts. I recognize it. And I won't say I'm working on it, but I will say that I am aware of it. And I will own it. So that's in play, too. Like, would I be this hard on her if she was from Wisconsin?
Probably not, yeah.
Or some state I have no fucking opinion about, like Oregon. Like, oh, okay, fine. I've never been there, you know?
You live there. Have you ever voted for her?
Warren?
Yeah.
No.
While you've been there.
No, this is true. Every time I've been here, every time I voted here, I'd write myself in for everything.
Oh, that's fucking perfect.
Yeah. I could do a better job than any of you clowns. That's 100% true.
That's fucking perfect.
I think except for when I voted for president, then I voted, I forget who I voted this time. I think I voted libertarian this year. I don't remember. I always vote third party. But every other spot, every other job, I write myself in.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean it, though. That's not a joke vote.
Well,
I do whatever better than whatever ideologically compromised asshole they got currently doing it. I'm a quick learner.
Well, shit, since you've gotten a vote, can we start a CPAC in your name and use that to enrich ourselves?
Dude, that's the whole point.
I know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Gives me a lot to think about.
I can't wait to look at the status quo and be like, this isn't that bad, you guys.
Yeah. Oh, the real money's in Congress.
Yeah, right? But that's a big hustle, man. I just want, like, one payday. You know?
Yeah, scandal. Yeah. Make money, scandal after a year and a half, so you don't really have to work, and you have to campaign, and you fuck whoever's next in line.
Yeah, and then I get a book deal.
Why I did it.
Right. Why it had to be done.
All right, I'm ready for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me run your campaign.
You want to run? Fuck yeah. You guys would be... Really? No. Okay, you're going to run the campaign. All right, so you're my campaign, but I also kind of want you to be my Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Oh yeah. I'll be the voice of this campaign. Oh, yeah. All right. I cannot give...
Hey. Well, because this question is going to come up at some point. Just say whatever. Like, I trust you. You don't have to ask me first.
Oh, I got this.
Yeah.
I've been in sales for 15 years. I got this.
Yeah, you got it. You're on it.
I got this.
Yeah. Okay, so that was that. So that was our conversation on reparations. All
right, what you got?
All right, I got this story about dogs and weed. That's how this fucking
all right, let's go.
So, man, you pull up the thing, and I have the news story pulled up somewhere. Where is it? Here we go. So, apparently, there's been an uptick in certain places where marijuana is legal. Particularly California, where people are bringing in their vets to the vet. They're bringing in their dogs with some kind of weed sickness.
Okay.
Now, the most common is they get your they get in your edibles and they eat all your edibles, right? So as long as it's not chocolate, right? Because chocolate will kill you, but that's not that weed in it. It's not the chocolate. And it turns out, like, there's been this big, like, whoa, what about the puppies? Because you know how weed alarmists are. What about the puppies? And the vets are like, well, here's what you can expect. He'll move wobbly, might fall asleep and pee himself, will definitely look dazed. They may have low temperature, and they may have feelings of nervousness or paranoia. So I'm like, so like a fucking person then.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, oh, and she just falls into the trap of like weed alarmist sometimes, like, because she's a recovered anti-weed person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you just described being too high. Like, yeah, if I ate 20 gummies, I'd probably be like that too.
Yeah.
And people are bringing in their dogs like, oh, he's overdosed. And the vets have to explain to them. They won't kill them. It doesn't cause any kind of organ failure. They're just going to be uncomfortable until they wear it off. The only way you can die from weed, consuming weed of your dog, from based on this NPR thing I read, is it has chocolate in it, which, again, not the weed, it's the chocolate. And two... is if they do the Jimi Hendrix death, where they fall asleep on their back, throw up, and then choke on their own vomit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but the article is very clear. Like, that's a hypothetical. I'm just trying to imagine some scenario. Like,
I've never seen a dog sleep like that.
Yeah, there's no dog Snoopy. Sleep like that. I'm pretty sure you'd be watching the dog. Like, it's like he's imagining like something kind of outlandish.
Yeah.
And they even asked him, how would you treat it? And they'd say, put him in a quiet room, play some Led Zeppelins, and leave him some Doritos.
Jesus.
But people are doing it anyway. Here's the funny thing. So how are they getting it? One is finding your edibles, right?
Yeah.
Most common. But the second most common is eating turds.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if your dog gets sick, you know, you need to, like, this is what my wife was saying, sort of heard this. So if our dog ever eats the edibles, we have to make sure we clean up the poop because some other dog might get high on the poop. And I was like, well, we do that anyway. We already clean up the poop, so that's not ever a concern. And I thought, but eating poop and then getting stoned, isn't that the best case scenario?
Yeah, for eating shit.
Yeah right? Like, if I for whatever reason have to eat a turd, and then it turns out I got stoned, I'm like, oh, that definitely went better than I thought it would go.
Yeah.
Do you just want to eat a turd? Like, do you prefer that? Like, come on, man. If a dog got high off a turd, we're doing that dog a fucking favor.
Hold on. How many high dogs are out there that there's a turd epidemic of high turds?
Let's see. It's just like the big thing is because it's just in the states, like states that have recreational people are bringing their dogs to the vets for being stoned.
Wow.
And the vets are kind of like, you don't have to, like, it's fine as long as it's not chocolate, right? But we are seeing an uptick of it, so they felt like a need to address it. Like, all right, relax, everybody. You know, as long as it's not chocolate,
yeah,
probably fine. But then some dogs were being brought in, like, but I don't smoke weed. How is he high?
No, I'm just saying, like, how are there so many dogs that have these turds, these fucking high turds, right. You know?
This is where this story gets real sad real fast.
Yeah.
Homeless people. Because they eat homeless people turds, and homeless people are homeless people smoke weed, apparently, or they do drugs, right? Some certainly do. And can you blame them? You're fucking homeless. Might as well smoke a joint. There's no reason not to now. And fucking then, and because in San Francisco, there's been an uptick in homelessness, there's a correlation of an uptick in dogs that eat turds getting high. And that's how we noticed.
Fuck. That's, man, this took a real turn.
Right?
Oh.
Welcome to my life, Joe.
Oh, man.
I know.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Homeless people are shitting outside because they're homeless.
Yeah.
And dogs are eating their shit.
Silver lining, when I tweet this out, I do get to write the phrase, dogs getting high on homeless turds, which is an accurate summation of what I just talked about, and a hilarious sentence.
Yeah. Thinking about a turd with no home. Oh, become man. One that never stops and anchors just a coffin nail waiting for that hammer drive. It holds you by the ankles till it pulls you to the anchor. Run straight staple to be able to slip out from under the devil's thumb. Keep your anchors, my home is where my hat is hung. Postcard printed paper and love notes from the lattice rung. Blessed are the vagrant, the lonely are the static ones. It's every drift, there's confirmation. This world is just ravishing, I know. It seems like we're out lost. We can follow this river back home. River back home. River back home. Oh, oh. And I know. It seems like we're out lost. We see the secrets. We know the unknown. Know the unknown. Know the unknown. Alright, what you got? What's on your list? Let's go NBA.
Alright, NBA. What time is this on the recording? This might be the last one we close with.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah. All right. I don't got much to say other than I think at some point we got to have a conversation about, like, legit, like who's to blame if KD got hurt? Because I was on board with, like, don't play. That's crazy. You obviously almost ripped your Achilles. We all thought you did. And you obviously have been out way longer than a calf strain. So you were probably out with an Achilles strain, and for whatever reason, we're telling people. That could have been him fucking, like, not wanting to hurt his free agency. That could have been the doctors not wanting to, who knows why. But they cleared that motherfucker to play. And obviously, he should not have been cleared. And from it feels like what they probably told him, well, it can't get worse. And then they got a fucking lot worse. Right? And Steve Kerr played that motherfucker 12 minutes out of 14. Like, you're not going to give that guy a minutes restriction? Like, that's some bullshit. The Warriors medical staff and Steve Kerr fucking, and we won't because we don't want to revisit this. We just want to pretend it's tragic. And if we have a real conversation about KD getting hurt, we got to have a bigger conversation about how we all encouraged him to get hurt, right? From the media to his teammates.
Everybody.
To fans. I would say not me. I was like with Jalen Rose, like, fuck that, don't play.
No, but, I'm with you. I never thought he should play.
Right. Right.
It's too much at stake.
But that's a lot of that's contextual and indirect, right? The fucking Warrior staff cleared him to play, and Steve Kerr played him 12 minutes out of 14. That's some bullshit. Like, that's some bullshit. And we're not, he's going to skate. We're all going to settle for the fact that the Warriors dynasty is dead. They've been punished enough. Like, why pile on? And maybe that's true. You know, I don't want, like, I saw somebody on Twitter, and if first, I thought it was unfair. Then I was like, I don't know that there's a big rumor that Clay was the one that was leaking stuff about the frustration.
I don't believe that.
There's no need to believe it, right? No, because the conclusion is that Clay deserved what he got, and he doesn't. No. Right? He doesn't.
No. I don't think, just from what I know about Clay Thompson that I read about him, I don't think he's that kind of person.
Yeah, it feels out of character.
Yeah.
At least to be like, go to the media. Like, maybe just like offhanded to say he's frustrated.
Yeah. But
not like go be a leaker. Like, he doesn't he don't feel like a snitch.
No.
Draymond maybe, but not Clay.
I think it was their Bob Myers. I think it was their leadership who was linking that shit.
Maybe.
They had the most to gain from it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely Bob Myers.
And, yeah.
So, I don't know. Heads should roll. I don't know if I buy that sort of, like, they suffered enough. Like, all right, I guess. But, man, that's some... I hope they feel bad. I hope they feel bad. I hope Bob Myers tears, like, oh, you should, like, oh, you gotta blame someone, blame me. Like, well, yeah, it's your fault.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not honorable.
No.
but also, I'm glad you are saying it out loud. Like, yes, he's right.
Yeah. No. This whole thing, like, one, everybody's at fault. Like, everybody. I put the Warriors leadership, him, Bob Myers, number one. He's the most responsible. This is one of those situations where they know Kevin's leaving, so they really don't care about his health.
Right.
They don't.
Oh, yeah.
Do not. They care about winning a title, everything you get from winning a title, or everything you get from that game six you're going to get as a home game. That's what they, like, or game, yeah, game six. That's what their motivations are, is for the enrichment of the people who work at the Warriors.
Yep.
That's their number one goal. They didn't care about Kevin's injury. They needed him to play. And fucking, hey, he's leaving anyway. So they really didn't care. One, their team is cheap because they fired their last three medical staffs. I don't know if you saw that. Like, they used to be known as having the best medical staff, but they're spending so much money on roster and, like, CE, like, you know, their presidents and things like that, that they went cheap on their medical staff. So this was the first year they've had this medical staff. It's also the first year they've ever had a major injury.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah, this is the first year, I mean, outside of some staff leg rolling, but this is the first year they've had, like, injury this major. And then just the one, they let Clay walk back on the court.
Bro, he was doing jumping jacks in the back.
They had him jumping up and down, like,
trying to loosen his, what, ACL?
Yeah, like, they've shown a clear incompetence. And did you know this team used to be the team in Phoenix that we used to praise? The ones who resurrected Shaq's career? Like, you remember how Phoenix's crew used to get, like, all the praise?
This is that medical staff?
This is that medical staff.
Whoa. Yeah. I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah. This will probably be a bigger story. If that's possible, like, how did we let this happen? Like, how do we let fucking arguably the best player in the NBA get a fucking career-ending injury?
Yeah. And when it's so obviously had no business playing.
But it also, like, there's a bigger narrative to this for me, because if you look at Kevin Durant, he was the most hated man in the NBA the last 3 years because he broke the league. You know, by going to the Warriors, it's like, fuck, man, you ruined it. Like, you took away all the fun. Like, you made this so just you guys all the time thing. And this is how it ends. Like, as a sort of punishment. Like, I think a lot of people, like, I think that's why people felt like it was a punishment. And that's why a lot of people, like, have changed their opinion about Kevin Durant. Because they have that little guilt, because we all hate him.
I will say, well, I mean, I still fucking don't respect his choices. I still think he's kind of a snake. And I sort of want to lionize him too, because, like, you came back out there, right? You risked it all, and may have sacrificed it all.
Mm-hmm.
As a consequence, not by choice, right? You don't. Like, he was, unless he knew he'd get hurt, in which case he must have known that those 12 minutes won't swing the whole season. So, no. He risked it all and lost the gamble, right? On the one hand, I'm like, all right, that's gutsy. And it is gutsy as an action no matter what. But, like, also, did you just succumb to pressure? And then I kind of want to be like, that's a bitch move. But then, like, it is the finals. Like,
yeah.
Who can hard to pass up? I don't know. To what extent it has changed my opinion of Kevin Durant? Not much, if I'm being honest, but I do respect that. So he won some respect back for me, so I guess I've adjusted my opinion of him, but wouldn't say I've revised it.
No. It was very brave for him to do it. It was the dumbest possible thing he could have done, because you were on your way to getting the most money you're ever going to get before the end of your career. Like, this is his last big contract.
Right.
because he's 32. Like, this is it. And there's just too much at stake, man. Like, once he got hurt with that initial injury, whatever it was, I actually think he partially tore his Achilles, that injury.
Yeah.
And then he knew he was going to have surgery on his Achilles at the end of the offseason, so he played anyway, and it tore. I think he always knew this was probably what's going to happen. I think that's the only way it makes sense for him to play. Other than that,
some bad medical advice. Like,
Oh no, terrible medical advice. He should not have played.
It feels like they probably told him like it can't get worse. That's what I think. That message was conveyed, or that's what he believed. He thought
that's an NFL phrase. We hear that all the time. Like, oh, he's playing because you know he can't get more hurt. I mean, he could get a concussion. He could break his leg,
which is the stupidest fucking logic. Of course, you get more hurt. You could hurt something else. Like, are you kidding me? Of course, you get more hurt. That's so stupid.
And I also think this is a bigger question, a bigger conversation. The teams should not run the medical team. The medical team should be a third party provided by the league. Because
conflict of interest.
It's obvious, and they will do whatever they work for the team.
Right.
They don't work for you. That's why Kawhi had the best 2 years. He knew how hurt he was. He went and got outside opinions. He didn't listen to his team, and now he's all the better for it.
Yep.
He did everything correctly.
Right.
I thought he was wrong at the time because like we trust the Spurs, but no, Kawhi was right. The whole time
I was with Kawhi the whole time.
Yeah.
I admit part of that's because I love Kawhi secretly because he was still a Spur then. I also admit to some level of implicit Spurs bias, so I was like, he's right, fuck the Spurs, obviously they're fuckers, but it turns out they were fuckers.
They were He did the right thing for him and his career, and now he can go anywhere he wants and his career, like, he's established. Like, now it's just how high is he going to be in the top 20?
Yeah, man, imagine if he wins a third ring for a third franchise. Now he's top 10.
Mm-hmm. And a third finals MVP with a third different team? Like, man.
Yeah.
That's like getting in LeBron territory because that's what LeBron's trying to do.
Right.
Yeah.
The Lakers are going to fuck that up, though.
Oh, they've already fucked it up. Yeah. Their GM didn't know that he had to do the trade on a certain day to get more money in the cap.
Oh, man. I don't want that with the Lakers. You think we'll get Jimmy Butler?
Is that still a rumor? Is that a possibility?
I don't know if it's so much a rumor as it is an ardent desire on Twitter.
Okay. Don't go Boston, man. Don't go Chris Boston, man.
Oh, I think that's what I needed to hear. We're moving on. Yeah. We're not getting Jimmy Butler. I want to say one thing because I feel like we're wrapping up.
Yeah.
Fucking WNBA shout out. The Connecticut Sun, who is my team, is leading the whole WNBA. They lost tonight. They got their asses whooped by the fucking Chicago Sky. But go Jonquel Jones. That's our MVP. And the only named player I can name so far.
Okay.
So go Connecticut Sun.
I need to get in the WNBA. I need something. Dude, like,
hey, we can go to a game when you visit if you want.
Okay. All
right. And while we're out there, we can go to a casino in Connecticut instead of Providence. Connecticut is where the nice casinos are.
Okay.
Providence are where the sort of like off the freeway casinos are. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm open to either.
you want classy or trashy? You gotta decide. You don't have to decide right now.
Okay.
All right, well, watch Chernobyl so we can talk about it. This shit is good. All right.
I'll watch Chernobyl.
And if you're interested in a podcast, White Lies, investigative report about James Reeb, the white minister who got killed in Selma right after the marches, and it was an unsolved murder.
Okay.
And these two motherfuckers solved it.
Oh, like legit, like they solved it?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fucking great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's kind of like fucking just two dudes. Yeah. It's like they're NPR correspondents, but like when you hear them, like, man, these are just fucking two assholes from the bar. Like, they're just fucking two whatever guys. They committed and they tracked down every lead and they fucking were like a dog with a bone. And they fucking find out. You get names.
All right. I
don't want to spoil any more than that because I don't want to tell you because like there's a whole other conversation about, you know, justice that's also involved, which that's actually the real narrative is they're talking about, like, how can you find justice 50 years later? Like, what does it mean?
Yeah.
How does it look like, you know? But they find out and they fucking name names. Fucking reputations are ruined. It's called White Lies. It's an NPR podcast. It's fucking pretty good.
I'll check it out.
I got hooked. It's the last one was this week, and they're doing an epilogue next week. So you get on. You get
on. I don't know about how many hooks.
Six. They're each about 45 to an hour. Yeah, it's a pretty, it's a quickish listen. Between that and Chernobyl, man, can't go wrong.
All
right,
cool.
All right, homie. Until next time. It seems like we're all lost, but we see the secrets. We know the unknown, know the unknown, know the unknown.